This episode was recorded via an online meeting due to coronavirus restrictions, and mistakes and glitches may occur throughout the audio. We apologize for any inconvenience and hope to be recording in person soon.
This week on The Gen Z Show.
In Green Bay, Wisconsin, a large chunk of ice breaks off and flows towards the center of a lake, taking 34 people with it. Large tech company BlackBerry announces its software's official end of life, rendering millions of classic mobile phones defunct. Chaotic fuel protests in Kazakhstan spark great international unrest. And finally, we celebrate the 233rd anniversary of the first ever United States presidential election.
All of this and more coming up on The Gen Z Show.
I'm Clark.
And I'm Avi.
And we're your Gen Z hosts.
This is Gen Z's recap for the week of January 3rd, 2022.
And we have a lot on the agenda for this week's show, so let's hop right into our first segment.
News and current events.
On January 9th, at least 34 people were rescued after being stranded on a large chunk of floating ice off the shore of Point Comfort in Green Bay, Wisconsin, according to the Brown County Sheriff's Office. A news release by the sheriff's office reported that at about 10:15 a.m. on Saturday, January 9th, Brown County received a report that a large chunk of ice had broken from the shoreline off Point Comfort and that there were multiple people stranded on it.
One ice fisherman recalled the scenario, claiming, quote, "It sounded like almost somebody fired a gun out there," he said. "We thought it was interesting, got out of our shanty, took a look, and people were yelling that the ice was separating," end quote. By the time the first responders reached the floating ice chunk, it had already floated roughly a quarter mile off coast and continued to float for nearly another mile over the course of the 90-minute rescue. An official from the sheriff's office claimed that while the ice chunk remained relatively stable, conditions were deteriorating rapidly and the ice was cracking up as it moved, with the open water pounding at the edge of it.
The sheriff's office official news report claimed that, quote, "It is believed a barge that had gone through the bay shortly before the ice breakage may have contributed to the destabilization of the ice," end quote. Regardless of what caused the traumatic event, as the ice fishers and walkers drifted farther away from shore, first responders in boats and sleds came to the rescue, saving all 34 people and reporting no injuries. Shane Nelson and Robert Verhagen reported that it had been their first time ice fishing, and they didn't catch any fish, ran out of propane early, and got stranded on the ice. Needless to say, it might be a while until they want to head out on that ice again.
In other news this week, the popular tech company BlackBerry has officially reached its end of life, with all of its mobile phones and software-reliant devices being officially rendered defunct. BlackBerry, which designed and manufactured old-school cell phones with physical keyboards from the late 1990s and early 2000s, were once the most popular technology company worldwide. The keyboard appealed to the professionals who wanted the flexibility of working outside the office with some of the tools that they used on a desktop computer. The devices became a status symbol and fixture for people on Wall Street, celebrities like Kim Kardashian and even President Barack Obama, thanks in part to its great reputation for security. At its peak in 2012, BlackBerry had more than 80 million active users.
The brand first launched in 1996 when tech company Research in Motion launched what it called two-way pagers. Its first gadget, the interactive pager, allowed customers to respond to pages with physical keyboards, a kind of text messaging email hybrid. 3 years later, Research in Motions introduced the BlackBerry name with the BlackBerry 850. The device quickly garnered international attention, and the BlackBerry name grew in popularity for decades to come. Eventually, BlackBerry phones gained support for email, apps, web browsing, and BBM, an encrypted text messaging platform that predated WhatsApp and survived long after BlackBerry was surpassed by its rivals. However, Apple's touchscreen revolution with the first ever iPhone in 2007 made BlackBerry's offerings appear lacking. It tried touchscreens and slide-out keyboard models with little success. It even tried developing a few phones with no physical keyboard at all, but those were missing BlackBerry's key differentiator, its tactile keyboard.
Eventually, after years of the company falling in popularity due to its competitors, BlackBerry moved all devices over to Android software, combined with their own high security system. But this is still not enough to save the company from their inevitable downfall. BlackBerry has been mostly out of the phone business since 2016, but over the years, it continued to license its brand phone manufacturers, including TCL and more recently, Onward Mobility, an Austin, Texas-based security startup for a 5G BlackBerry device running on Android software. In September of 2020, the company officially announced its plans for the device's end of life as part of its effort to shift focus towards providing security software and services to enterprises and governments around the world under the name BlackBerry Limited. As of this past week, the company will stop running support for its classic devices running BlackBerry 10, 7.1 OS, and earlier. This means all of its older devices not running on Android software will no longer be able to use data, send text messages, access the internet, or make calls.
And now, for the final segment of this week's news and current events, let's take a look into the large movement of unrest within the Central Asian country of Kazakhstan. As of Sunday, January 9th, 2022, at least 164 people have been killed, and over 6,000 have been arrested and detained. All of this sprouts from the recent protests against the large spike in fuel prices in the nation, which started in the first week of 22, and have now launched into several full-fledged riots across the country. The riots are an attempt of the citizens to reflect great discontent towards the government and former President Nursultan Nazarbayev, who led Kazakhstan for 3 decades and is still thought to retain significant influence in the country. Last week, troops from several neighboring countries, including Russia, were sent to Kazakhstan to help restore order.
In Kazakhstan's capital of Nur-Sultan, there are obvious signs that security has been tightened, says the BBC's Steve Rosenberg, with the entrance to the city's presidential palace blocked. Along with this, there is a growing suggestion that the recent violence is linked to a power struggle within Kazakhstan's ruling elite. The majority of the fatalities linked to the riots have been reportedly in the city of Almaty, where the majority of protesters are currently taking place. The security forces said they killed rioters in Almaty while trying to restore order and that protesters had tried to take control of public police stations in the city. President Kasym Jomart Tokayev said 20,000 bandits had attacked Almaty and that he told security forces to fire without warning. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken on Sunday criticized the president's actions, telling ABC News that, quote, the shoot-to-kill order, to the extent it exists, is wrong and should be rescinded, end quote. He also said that the U.S. was also seeking clarification from the Kazakh president on why he had requested the president.
On Saturday, January 8th, the Kazakh president reportedly went missing for several hours, and the nation's former intelligence chief, Karim Masimov, has been arrested for several accounts of treason.
And now, let's move on to this week's anniversary of historic events. That wasn't that bad.
This week, we celebrate the 233rd anniversary of the United States' first ever presidential election. The United States Congress officially recognizes January 7, 1789, as the final date in which states were able to select electors for the country's first ever presidential election. A month later, on February 4th, George Washington was elected president by state electors and sworn into office on April 30th, 1789. At the time, there were just 69 electors in the Electoral College, with just 35 needed to win. Today, there are 438, with 270 needed to win, a 634% increase.
At the time, though no organized political parties yet existed, political opinion loosely divided between those who had more stridently and enthusiastically endorsed ratification of the Constitution, called Federalists of Cosmopolitans, and anti-federalists or localists who had supported only more reluctantly, skeptically, or conditionally, or who had outright opposed ratification. Either way, both factions supported Washington for president. Along with this, due to the nature of the time period, only limited primitive political campaigning occurred in states and localities where swaying public opinion might matter. For example, in Maryland, a state with the statewide popular vote, unofficial parties campaigned locally, advertising.
In the election of 1788 and 1789, there were 8 total candidates, 7 Federalists and just 1 Anti-Federalist. The Federalists included notable people such as John Adams, John Hancock, and of course, George Washington, who was also considered somewhat of an independent. And the Anti-Federalist candidate was George Clinton of New York. Because no nomination process existed at the time of planning, the framers of the Constitution automatically assumed that Washington would be automatically elected president unopposed. In the election, a very low voter turnout appeared, with just 1.8% of legally eligible potential voters actually participating. In the popular vote, 39,000 people voted for a Federalist candidate, while just 4,000 voted for an Anti-Federalist. But regardless of the spread, George Washington won with all 69 electors and 100% of the electoral votes. Now, let's hop on over to everyone's favorite game show.
Spot the Fake Story.
Welcome to Spot the Fake Story.
Everyone's favorite game show where we list 3 stories and you have to guess which one isn't real. Write your answer in the comment section down below and you might just win a prize.
And now, story number 1.
A McDonald's chicken nugget sells for $100,000? Well, a McDonald's chicken nugget that resembles a character from the popular video game Among Us sold for nearly $100,000. When the McNugget, which resembled a spitting image of the classic Among Us characters, was listed on eBay for auction, over 180 bids from people interested in the nugget came flooding in. Finally, after days of bidding, the nugget sold for $99,997 and was shipped safely to the buyer in a vacuum-sealed bag.
Story number 2.
A sheep produces 78 pounds of wool after a much-needed shearing? Well, a sheep wandering a forest in Australia was found in dire need of a new haircut. An animal sanctuary was quickly contacted and its staff provided the sheep, which was named Barak, with a new haircut and a nice new home. Sheep need to be trimmed about once a year or their wool will overgrow, but it appeared that Barak had not been sheared for several years and wool was covering his whole body, even his eyes. In the end, after several hours of shearing, Barak's wool coat weighed about 78 pounds. An animal sanctuary posted on Facebook that, quote, Barak is indeed lighter in more ways than one. No longer shall he struggle for food and shelter, and now he can see the world more clearly.
And finally, story number 3.
Celebrity gorilla Harambe received 11,000 write-in votes in the 2020 election. Well, if you remember the devastating event where Harambe was shot and killed in the Cincinnati Zoo in Ohio in 2016, you might want to listen up. The same year, in the 2016 presidential election between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, Harambe received tens of thousands of write-in votes, and it appears that the trend has yet to stop. According to voting officials, Harambe received over 11,000 write-in votes for president this past year, a feat that could only be accomplished by a generation with the capability of achieving any community effort.
And there you have it for Spot the Fake Story. Tell us down in the comment section down below what you think the fake story is, and we hope to see you next week on Spot the Fake Story.
Now, let's do some movie and book recommendations.
Watch Sing 2, the sequel to the hit animated movie Sing, available on YouTube TV, Apple TV, Amazon Prime Video, and in theaters now.
Watch Rumble, a new animated film about a world where tame monsters play sports. Available exclusively on Amazon Prime Video.
Watch Dragons, The Nine Realms, a new animated series similar to the hit movie series How to Train Your Dragon, but set 1,300 years later.
Read the IQ book series, a series of fiction novels about the son of two famous rock musicians by Roland Smith.
Read Here's to Us, the sequel to the New York Times bestselling novel What If It's Us by Adam Silvera and Becky Albertalli.
And finally, read The Year We Learned to Fly, the new novel by esteemed author Jacqueline Woodson that breaks down several deep social topics for kids.
And now, to finish up the episode, let's share our picks for this week's Gen Z Stars of the Week. This week, my Gen Z Star of the Week is 17-year-old Alaya Logan, a Jamaican-American activist and advocate who works to empower African-American youth due to her own experiences growing up in the New York City public school system. After being made aware of the scary school-to-prison pipeline that serves as a massive figure in many predominantly African-American communities in the United States, Logan made it her mission to stop this biased and negative system. Alaya Logan served as an activist against policies such as those that encourage police presence at schools, employ harsh tactics like physical restraint, and push automatic punishments that result in suspensions and out-of-class time, which are all massive contributors to the school-to-prison pipeline. Now a senior in high school, Alaya continues to advocate for African-American youth and change the bias in American education systems.
And my pick for this week's Gen Z Star of the Week is Ray Whipley. Ray is a teenager and founder of Ray United FC, an organization dedicated to creating soccer opportunities in Uganda. At 10 years old, Ray accompanied his mother on a work trip to Uganda, where he was shocked by the conditions that people were meant to play soccer in, and immediately took action to improve it. Through his love for soccer, he has noticed how the power of the sport breaks through any problematic linguistic and cultural barriers and has helped over 2,000 children in rural Uganda. As a fellow soccer player, I have a huge amount of respect for Ray and what he is doing. Keep it up.
And there you have it for this week's Gen Z Stars of the Week.
Remember, if you want to nominate someone to be the next Gen Z Star of the Week, feel free to put the person's name and a description of them in the comment section below, or use the Google form in the show notes to nominate.
And there you have it. That is our weekly recap for the week of January 3rd, 2022 by The Gen Z Show. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and like the episode if you enjoyed.
Happy listening!